Coming to you live from Landers Chevrolet, exit 121. Drive a couple miles. You'll see Hope sitting in the front area. She'll be smiling at your face. Pigskin Preacher is here, all dressed up in his Michigan garb, feeling nervous. So don't get too close to him. He may throw up on you, not because he ate something bad last night, but because he's nervous about the game this evening. And, of course, Patty B is here to set the record straight on the four games for tonight because, of course, you, my friend, are the only impartial one at this table.
I am very impartial, and when I'm not, I'll let you know. I'm pretty open about when I'm going to be a homer and when I'm not going to be a homer.
You don't have
so
any
count on that.
I guess you can be an SEC homer tonight. And if you are, this could lead to a great debate.
I'm very happy already with what the SEC has done. And let's be honest. When people say, well, do you think this has justified the SEC? No, I don't. Because, listen, Florida was number one seed. Nobody had an issue with that. The Kentucky, they were preseason number one, okay? So they're doing probably what they now should be doing. And Tennessee maybe should have been a better seed, but they really haven't beat a Goliath in this tournament, okay, or a giant. So I would say the SEC is probably where a lot of people expected them to be. I'd be surprised if most brackets didn't have Tennessee winning at least the first two games they played, maybe even this third game. So no huge surprises for me. Tennessee is playing good, so I don't have to be a homer. But
Tennessee's already won three games, right?
Right, but what I'm saying is most people in their brackets, I'm sure, had Tennessee beating Iowa, beating UMass.
I did. And then?
And then, you know, the game against
Mercer. We thought they'd be playing Duke, so I had them losing
Duke. Had them in Duke. Yeah, most people had them winning two for sure. So say what you want about the seed, possibly. But certainly, I think Tennessee was a team that could win a couple games.
They do have a couple freakish dudes for sure, and we're going to hear from one of them in just a minute here about the matchup tonight. But it should be a great game. And I think the biggest spread tonight, guys, is 4.5 points in the Kentucky-Louisville game, and the Cardinals are favored in that one. But the rest of them, Iowa State, UConn is a point and a half. I think Michigan's favored by 2.5 tonight. And then the other game, what am I missing?
Iowa State, UConn, Virginia, Michigan State.
Oh, the
Tennessee Michigan.
Game. Oh, Virginia, Virginia, Michigan State.
Yeah.
What's that line?
That's
like 2 points?
Goliath. That is a matchup. Is going to be epic.
I have a question. Maybe you can help me. Do you get more nervous, like if the Hogs were in this right now and you were watching the Hogs tonight, do you get more nervous watching the team than you did when you were, like, playing in the games?
Oh, yeah, no question.
Because I was telling Justin.
I cry.
I'm such a basket case, I can't even really enjoy the game tonight because I'm just worried, like, well, what happens if we lose? What happens if we get a bad? I mean,
do you know how many times I think during a game I watch, I get every shot, every rebound.
Yes.
And then I have to say to myself, well, who cares? Who cares who wins? You know what I'm saying? And then I talk myself out of it and get excited.
Like a billion people in China don't care, but you know that you care.
Right.
And that's it. So
yeah, that's all that I care about. It is a 2-point line in the Michigan State-Virginia game. The Spartans are favored by 2. We're going to hear from Tom Izzo here in a second. And, Pigskin, you may have heard this stat yesterday, and you may have been aware of it anyway. But Tom,
I got a great story, by the way, to tell you about Izzo when you get done.
Tom Izzo has never had a player go 4 years and not make the Final Four. It's amazing.
That's amazing, that's pretty impressive. It is.
Here he is talking about that Final Four. Of course, they are a couple of wins away.
I'm going to have a chance to get to another one unless I get fired this week. This year's team, we've been through so much that I really didn't need that burden put on them. I mean, a Final Four is a Final Four. If you're in this profession, there is nothing better. And I just want all my guys to have a chance to share in that at least once.
Okay, here's a story about Izzo. We're going to the 2003 Michigan-Michigan State football game at East Lansing. We buy tickets off of this dude that's connected to the basketball program. We get unbelievable seats on the 50-yard line, about 45 rows up. They had some big basketball thing there, and Bill Raftery was there, and Magic Johnson, and all these guys with Izzo. Well, we're sitting on the row with Magic Johnson, about 8 seats down from him. So we're walking past Magic and Raftery to get there. My friend recognizes me. He said, Magic! He turns around to shake Magic's hand. He takes his elbow and crushes Izzo right upside the head, who was sitting in the
awesome.
Row in front of him. I mean, it was a shot to the melon. So we go down there. He said, hey, I think I hit Izzo in the head. He said, look down there. I look down. Izzo's just giving a death stare at my friend.
Is he really?
Oh, it was the funniest thing ever.
That's hilarious.
And I'm hoping that I can have a similar experience at a basketball game with Mark D'Antonio. and we could hit him in the head with an elbow. But it
changed that to he busted Izzo's lip.
Well, it was right in the head. But keep in mind, your elbow comes up to Izzo's head because he's like Billy Barty small. So, but the man can coach.
Small in stature, large in success.
He's fierce for sure.
Well, he's had a good run. All right, here's a couple of we got a couple sound bites from the matchup with Tennessee and Michigan. Pigskin Preacher is decked out in his Michigan garb today. I need to tweet out a picture of his look, and you've seen it probably before. This is a big matchup for you because, A, your favorite team is playing, and, B, if you lose, you're going to take a beating at church on Sunday.
I'm never
going
to live it down. You know, you think the people at church would exhibit God's grace and give you a free pass? They have no grace at all.
No.
I will be hammered mercilessly if we lose this game.
If you want grace, you should probably go preach at Grace Church. But as long
Grace
as you're at the
Jones,
Pleasant Valley Church,
available.
Pleasant Valley Church of Christ, you're probably screwed, Hosey, homie.
Hosey.
No, he got it right the first time.
Hoser.
And look, Hoser.
That's what we're going to be calling you on Sunday if it didn't work out. Here is Quanzo Martin talking about the matchup with Michigan.
A very talented team. I think it'll be the first team that we've played all season, in my opinion. We have four guys on the perimeter that can pass, shoot, dribble the ball, come off a ball screen, can attack the rim, can shoot pull-ups. You don't see many teams like that. They can do it on the perimeter. And then I don't think Jordan Morgan gets the credit he deserves as a skilled big man. And because of probably how the offense is set, he can do a lot of things. They're very talented basketball players. I mean, for us, he's a key in what we're trying to do to stop those guys. Even though they have great perimeter guys, Jordan Morgan is very valuable in what they do. But again, with a team with a lot of moving parts, great spacing, make one-on-one plays. And you don't see many college teams with multiple guys that can make one-on-one plays.
I think he's right about the fact of what those big guys at Michigan don't get enough credit for. Listen, you got Horford, Morgan. Those guys are big bodies. When I went to that game at Michigan, these guys are enormous sized guys, and they can. I don't know how they're going to fare against Stokes and Maimon.
They're
going to
get. They're going to get shoved around by the Tennessee bigs.
Not as much as
Morgan's physical. Horford's a little on the thin side.
Well, but, you can guarantee one thing: they're going to give more resistance this game than Tennessee has gotten in any of their three previous NCAA tournaments.
I just wish
games.
We had McGarry. Oh, that would be nice.
I mean, he's a game.
Well, I wish we had George Niang tonight for Iowa State, but you know what? Wish in one hand and hope in the other.
We had Michael Jordan.
Yeah, no doubt. And the X factor tonight could be Josh Richardson, a guy that a lot of us did not know much about going to the tournament.
Has anyone said anything about Clay Travis? He was on a vendetta for the last 3 months to get Quanzo Martin fired at Tennessee.
Yeah.
And then Martin just catches lightning in a bottle. They're having a great run. Travis has been conspicuously silent about this whole thing.
That's the first time he's ever been silent about anything.
Exactly.
Richardson has averaged over 19 points a game in the NCAA tournament. Tonight, his focus is keeping Nick Stauskas under wraps.
Well, Michigan's offense pretty much.
Yeah. Go ahead, Matt.
Michigan's offense pretty much flows through him. He's their best perimeter scorer, probably their best passer, and I think it'll be critical to run him off the three-point line as well as LeVert. Those are probably their two best, outside scorers.
Well said, bro.
Well, Stauskas, he's proven he can pass the ball. If they overplay him, he'll drive and he'll dish to Morgan. That's really when the offense is at its best.
Oh, he's a great player.
He's kind of filling the role of Trey Burke as distributor a little bit. So,
Pigskin, a conversation I'm sure you've had with many people. I would say, actually, this Tennessee team probably would fit in okay in the Big Ten. May not be an elite team in the Big Ten, but they do have a Big Ten makeup.
They do. They're very rugged.
Jordan Morgan comparing Tennessee to the teams in his conference.
I think they are a pretty good comparison to what we would see in the Big Ten, just with their physicality in the paint. And then on top of that, they got, really good scores on the perimeter. That's pretty much what we see in the Big Ten. So it's going to be one of those type of games. And, we've been through a lot of battles with different teams in the Big Ten. So we look forward to just going out there and playing again.
All right, more on last night's game in a moment. I do want to give you the details on tonight. Michigan-Tennessee, the early game tonight at CBS. I was really hoping we could get together and watch games, but since Iowa State and Michigan are playing at the same time, that ain't happening. So Michigan-Tennessee on CBS, 6:15 is Iowa State-Connecticut on TBS. Louisville and Kentucky on CBS at 8:30, and Virginia-Michigan State, the late game on TBS. I think all four of these, unlike last night's games, should be close and fun to watch down to the wire. The only thing about yesterday that was disappointing was that there really wasn't a good close game at all.
The games were so flat that at one point I turned to my wife and let her watch Grey's Anatomy while I read newspapers.
Halfway through the second half of the late games, I went to bed, and Maddox and Christy were watching Resurrection. on demand, and I'm like, this is fine. I'm going to go to sleep now.
Well, exactly. Really, the only game, Wisconsin and Baylor, was the only one that was out of hand. Each one of those other games, Arizona, South Dakota State, went down to the wire. Matter of fact, South Dakota State was winning that game the entire time.
San Diego State.
I mean, San Diego State was winning that game.
But they
the
won by
time.
Like 10, right?
Well, seven. They yeah, but they were down. You realize they were losing the entire game. And then they made a run in
Listen,
the last few minutes.
San Diego State is tough.
San Diego State
have good athletes. They
had
play hard.
That game in hand.
Yeah, they did.
Arizona,
they did.
What they were able to do finally, their Pac-12 player of the year, had 0 points up until maybe
and Nick
4
Johnson
minutes
had,
left in the game.
Had 15 in the last 3 minutes.
Now, Justin, let me ask a bracket-related question.
And then the other thing, hold on one second, and then the other deal, Florida-UCLA.
Yes.
That was a great game all the way through. And UCLA, Florida couldn't shake them. They were all good games. Even Dayton-Stanford.
Florida just
game.
Had an answer for everything UCLA would throw at them.
Baylor-Wisconsin was the only one. And that was fun
Stanford,
to watch.
Dayton never got close, though. I mean, it just wasn't ever a really close game. Stanford, every time they made a push, they were pushed back.
The point, though, was,
it wasn't. I'm not saying it wasn't.
Game to watch.
It wasn't entertaining. Not that it wasn't entertaining.
They
I'm
weren't
saying,
blowouts, but they weren't nail biters.
Well, look, after the first week, I mean, we had a bunch of games go down the wire. We had what, 5 overtime games. I mean, this is not the same type of deal. That's what I'm talking about.
If Arizona wins the whole,
well, there wasn't anybody having to make a bucket late in the game. I mean, my point is, every game was decided by 6 points or more. Is that a fair statement? Is that true?
But if you read the scores, you're not going to get a complete picture of how the game went.
I watched both of the early games, and I watched the first half and half of the second half of the second game. So I didn't just read the scores. My point is, there wasn't anything that came down to a close game as far as score goes.
I liked how Wisconsin put the squeeze on Baylor. They were very efficient.
In that game right there, you can look at the score and you could say, it wasn't maybe not a game that you want to tune into in terms of excitement.
It wasn't.
But that was a great game to watch, because if you wanted to see Wisconsin and why they are where they are and why a lot of people have them picked to go to the Final Four, that's the reason why. They're a great passing team. They're a great defensive team.
I don't know that I've seen a more entertaining game in the whole tournament thus far than the Oregon-Wisconsin game. It was a great game.
That's a fun game. And Wisconsin's a fun team to
and
watch.
If Wisconsin plays that anywhere except in Milwaukee, Oregon wins that game. Yeah. Oregon gave them everything they wanted. It was really good.
I enjoyed all those games.
Hey, here's my question. If Arizona wins the whole thing, as I picked, does that mean that I win the bracket?
If Arizona wins the whole thing?
Yeah, the national championship.
I think you win our bracket.
Joe's out because of Wichita State.
Pat's got a chance if Florida wins it all. Matt Jones has somebody else.
One of Matt Jones' 15 brackets will probably win.
Hey, look, that's all money that's going in your pocket. Wisconsin, that was the only good thing about that game. Wisconsin was great basketball. Yeah. There's no question. But it wasn't a competitive game. Baylor had zero chance last night to win. You know what they did? They did to them what Baylor did to Creighton. It was not a good game at all. I don't know if it was a bad matchup, but Baylor looked totally out of sync offensively. Wisconsin looked like a well-oiled machine. That's as efficient a game as we probably see anybody playing the whole tournament.
That's kind of what I hope happens with Tennessee. They've already played a bunch of good games, and maybe they're due for a bad one.
With Tennessee?
We can hope, yeah.
Tennessee, what they do well, they stick to. That's the one thing, if you look in this tournament, where Tennessee knows what they do well is get the ball into these guys. Let's play inside out. And they do that well. And they've been able, in terms of the matchups, to been taking advantage of that.
They have.
You look at Wisconsin. What do they do well? Pass the ball well. They shoot the ball well. What does Baylor do? Yeah, they have length, but you play them a zone. Wisconsin is too smart.
Yeah.
Pass the ball too
they'll
well.
Figure it out.
Shoot smart. Yeah. Pass the ball too
they'll
well.
Figure it out.
Shoot
That's
the ball
right.
too well, and they'll figure out. And on the defensive end, I will take a smart defender over an incredibly fast, long defender all day, all night. And those guys, they know angles, they play angles. I'm not saying with Arizona. Arizona, in my mind, they've got it all.
They
got defense,
strength up front,
great passing. And you know what else Arizona has? Superstar fast. That kid Gordon, although he's a freshman, he is an absolute. He made some plays
he's a beast.
Last night
he is.
That you can't teach guys how to make those plays.
Well, and their transfer point guard from McConnell, he's smart. He puts everybody in the right spot.
And then your boy, if he comes out and has an average game during the game and not the last 3 minutes, it isn't really as close as what it was towards the end.
Did any of you guys see UConn getting this far in the tournament? I didn't. I didn't think they were that good.
I did have UConn.
Few people did.
Well, they only had to win. I mean, their first game they were favored in, right?
First game they played St. Joe's, then they beat Villanova.
They got lucky to beat St. Joe's. They should have been beaten there. But then
Villanova's always a paper tiger. They never do anything.
So is Wisconsin normally.
Usually.
I mean, everybody's slobbering all over them, though. And I mean, I don't know how many guys I heard last night say this is the best Wisconsin team that he's ever had.
They're more athletic than they usually are. Before, they just have no athletes. And now they've got some guys that can take you off the dribble.
They got two guys. Kaminsky, at least, that most likely will play in the NBA.
Kaminsky's an NBA player.
He's had talent. You got two guys who have that kind of talent, and then you put next to him good decision makers, good shooters.
Bo's a good coach, man. They play tough, disciplined basketball.
You don't hear guys talk about passing very much. Pat has talked about it virtually nonstop since the tournament began. Wisconsin is fun to watch pass the basketball. It sounds stupid, and it sounds like a basic tenet of basketball, like walking down the street, but it's not. Good passing teams are so much more effective. You know who else is a great passing team? I saw last night, Dayton. Even those fast break when they're under pressure, those guys are so accurate with their passes. Guys don't break stride on the fast break. They were late, I know. You know, they were screaming. I'm not sure Miller was to try to get him to slow down a little bit, but it's like the passing put their guys in position to score these buckets.
It's hugely important. You think about this. When Arkansas was on that streak and playing really well, they were being unselfish, moving the ball really quickly. When the offense would bog down and they would play poorly, it was just guys coming down just jacking up shots.
Something a little less serious and analytical last night. We continue to marvel at the pleasant nature of Charles Barkley and Kenny working together along with Greg Gumbel. Meanwhile, you've got this stick in the mud, Clark Kellogg, who looks terribly out of place.
He really does.
And he goes out of his way to sort of stick out,
which makes it more uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's awful. And my buddy said, "Listen, boy, he's really going out that coffee cup." And I mean, he one time dumped his head all the way back. I think he was going to fall out of his chair.
When, he was dancing to Pharrell, I was hugely uncomfortable watching this.
I'm like, bro, you can drink the biggest drink of your coffee cup ever. Nobody's paying attention to you. You're the least talented, least interesting, least pleasant guy on the set. Nobody cares anything else about you. They've got to make that adjustment next year. I hate it for the other guys because he's really a huge drag.
You can tell they don't really like him that much.
I think he really doesn't like them, and I heard Barkley comment to somebody. I read a guy's comment that when they came in there, they brought the guys over.
So they were punks to him?
They were treated like garbage. He said those guys all felt like – he's like, look, dude, I have a job. I don't want your job. Besides, I make plenty of money. I don't need your games.
Well, he was threatened by those guys.
Well, of course, because they're better than he is.
A lot better. A lot more famous.
Kellogg's not doing games now. I mean, look, dude, you're not good.
When Barkley started riffing on Shaq, I was just dying laughing. That was hilarious.
Speaking of, here's the lighthearted part of this, is that at least Clark Kellogg stayed out of the way long enough to let Barkley do his thing. And even he...
It was gold, Gary. Gold.
Even he, with his limitations, understands that Barkley is the show, so stay out of the way. Shaquille O'Neal apparently tweeted something about Charles Barkley, and here's the recap from last night.
Pay attention. Tweet of the night comes from Shaq.
That's a funny guy. That's just a rest it on the desk, right?
Is basically he said, he said Barkley needs to rest his belly on the table there.
That's me and Kenny. Just get the ball to the big man. Let him dominate. Get the ball to the big man. Let him dominate.
Well, why did he say your whole name like he didn't know you?
Oh, it's Barkley.
He means well, though.
You know what? He's one of the most fun people I've ever worked with. I mean, he's great to work with.
A lot of fun.
You know, the funny thing about him, though, is his career was there. Pretty good. And he's right up there in the net worth.
Oh, my God. If he ever got my bank account, he'd just kill himself. A bank account I got compared to Shaq. You can't even remember a commercial. I got no lotion last the rest of my life. Come on, man. Got that cream soda. Spread diabetes all across the world as we speak. Got like 50 grams of sugar in one can of that cream soda.
Are we going to get back to basketball around here
at some point? That was bad enough, man.
There's your boy Clark Kellogg. Can we talk basketball, guys? We're having fun. Sorry, buddy.
That was 10 times more interesting than the basketball. You remember the guy that called the show last week and he was wanting us to hate on Barkley? Man, how can you hate on this man? He's an American treasure. Even Alabama people like Charles Barkley.
Here's the quote on Twitter. Charles Barkley, your belly looks tired. You should rest it on the desk. What's up, Kenny Clark and the legendary Mr. Gumbel? Tell to brother hi.
You know Shaq is still upset. When Barkley was on Saturday Night Live a couple years ago, he did an impersonation of Shaq, which was screamingly funny. I think Shaq is still a little sore about that.
He's almost as funny as my man Tim Hall, who was the general manager of Landers Chevrolet. We all knew where we are today. Last time I was here, I was hanging out with Bill Vickery. Which, hang on one second, man. I know we got an interview coming up, but I just want to give Tim a couple minutes here before we go to Christy Dawson just a second.